We are all about the farm and its various aspects. You're tuned to The Record. I'm Steve Scher.
I'm Marcy Silman. If you ever doubted that farming is a tough job, Arlo Crawford's new memoir will set you straight. A Farm Dies Once a Year chronicles the season Crawford spent working his parents' organic farm. His folks were part of the wave of back-to-the-land hippies who left their urban lives behind in the mid-1970s.
My father actually was in law school in D.C. Back in the early 70s and lasted a year before he rented a piece of land in West Virginia with some friends for the summer. And then at the end of the summer, when he headed back to law school, he just turned around and went back to that plot of land and decided to try and make a go of it. As a farmer, he had no farming experience. But over the last 40 years, it's gotten to be a pretty big, it's not a big business. It's, I mean, in terms of businesses, it's not IBM or something, but in terms of farms, it's kind of, you know, it's one of the kind of foundation farms, I like to think of it, in this new kind of farm to table movement. It was one of the first. So.
It's an organic farm.
It is organic. Yeah. Organic vegetables.
When you were young, I get the impression that this was the furthest place from your heart that there could be. You didn't want to be a farmer.
No, I did not want to be a farmer, and I still don't want to be a farmer. Living in this place in southern Pennsylvania, which is really deep kind of in the Appalachian Mountains, it was a very kind of strange place for them to end up. I mean, it's a very insular community. The landscape is very insular because it's a series of sort of ridges and hollows. So you're very isolated there and you're very kind of closed in. And the people sort of have a very tight-knit community. So we were really kind of outsiders, which for me, my parents was okay because their project was really this farm. For me, it was a little more difficult because I desperately wanted to be with other little kids and I wanted to have concrete. I was desperate to have concrete to ride my bike on. And But I loved growing up there, but it wasn't, it absolutely felt like a place where I wasn't necessarily at home.
At the start of this book, you find yourself making this choice to leave that urban life in Boston and head back. Why did you go back to the farm?
One of the main reason why I wanted to come back, I was working in Boston at an art museum, main art museum at Harvard. And I liked my job, but I just didn't really feel satisfied. And I was right about the age that my father was when he decided to start this farm. And so it really all of a sudden kind of dawned on me that there might be something really interesting to learn at this farm about sort of what it means to take a risk and what it means to commit your life to something, because I really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I really felt just kind of drifting. And I think what was so fascinating to me about the farm as an adult now is to understand exactly how much my parents put at stake when they did this. And I just found myself asking, gosh, would I ever have the guts to kind of drop everything and move to a farm in the middle of nowhere and try and figure out this business on my own? And the answer was no, I can't imagine doing that. So I just wanted to find out more.
I'm speaking with Arlo Crawford. His memoir is called A Farm Dies Once a Year. Did your parents expect or encourage you to be interested in farming or more interested in farming than you were?
You know, they didn't. And I also have a little sister, Janie, and she's about 5 years younger than me. So there were two of us. But they never really expected us. One of the things about a farm like this, people ask me this question sometimes about passing on the farm. And because, you know, my parents came to this farm as their project, you know, it wasn't as though this farm was passed on to them. They really came to do something specific that they were passionate about. And I think that my parents have always recognized that we might not have that same passion for that project. And I think also, you know, they reacted to their parents, less my mother, but my father, you know, his parents were very, very wary about this. He was leaving law school and going to start a farm with a bunch of hippies. And so I think, you know, because they were in that position, they found it easier not to put pressure on us. So, yeah, I've never felt a great need to carry it on.
You mentioned earlier that farming's hard work, and in fact, a lot of this book is descriptions of days of relentless hard work, hot sun, in the rain. Mm-hmm. Were you mentally and physically equipped to take that on when you got back to the farm from Boston?
Mentally and physically, I would say mentally, I mean, I knew what to expect because, you know, I growing up, I sort of worked on the farm as a summer job. And I mean, I know what happens there. I was probably not so mentally equipped to deal with the level of, you know, a farm is such a place that's under sort of, it's constantly under under attack in some ways. I mean, the weather and the, just so many things can go wrong. So every day is this kind of watching your flanks and making sure that you're doing everything you can. And there's always so much more work than you could ever finish. You know, you really just need to, you're sort of doing triage, you know, these beets need it more than these raspberries. And so, you know, I mean, the days go into the night. I mean, it's a cliche about farmers, but they really do get up in the morning, get up with the first light lots of times and go to bed when it gets dark.
You mentioned the 40 some years that your parents have been doing this and the fact that they were kind of in that first wave of back to the land hippie folk who wanted to grow fresh, wonderful food. And we have come full circle in terms of that. Farm to table is a big thing in Seattle as well as San Francisco and other parts of the country. So it's hip to think about that. But what don't we city dwellers know about organic farms and farming?
Well, I think in a big more philosophical, more abstract sense, I think people tend to think of, and just as my parents did 40 years ago, and partly what's behind, I think, this farm-to-table movement now, is that there, and this is sort of a thing throughout probably all human history, but, you know, that you can escape the rat race in the city and you can move out to the middle of nowhere and all your troubles will evaporate because all you have to do is go out and hang out with these vegetables all day and kind of help them along. And I would say that it's the exact opposite is true. I mean, you don't escape from the city by going to a farm. That's like just absolutely the wrong place to go. It's really out of the frying pan into the fire kind of situation. I would definitely, because I went the other way, I'd say, God, I got to get out of this farm. I got to get to a city where things are much easier. So I think that's one of the things that's interesting about my parents' story is they started in this place where it was this back to the land escape. And what they found was actually it wasn't an escape at all. It was it was the place where they were able to sort of find the job that would give their lives meaning and purpose and shape.
Did you find what you were looking for?
Yeah, you know, I think I did. Over that summer, I built a little cabin to live in, and my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, came and lived with me there, and we had a really we worked very, very hard, and we had a very we just had a very intense summer together. And I think what I found was my parents, you talked earlier about whether or not the farm would pass on to me, and it won't. But I think what my parents have really passed on to my sister and me is that you can take this kind of risk. You can, you know, really decide to do something crazy. And if you care about it enough and you put enough of yourself into it, you can make it work. And it's going to be difficult, but it can happen. And I think, you know, this is not a book that's a lot about epiphanies. This is not a book that says, oh, you got a chicken in your backyard and it's going to change your life. I swear. I think most farmers are very wary of epiphanies because it's the kind of job where you think if you're not careful every other day, I figured this out. And then a disaster happens. So this book is a little wary of the epiphany. But at the same time, I think I went back, I gained what I was there for, which was a deeper sort of understanding both of my parents' life and the farm and also what it means to sort of commit yourself to that kind of life.
Arlo Crawford's new memoir is A Farm Dies Once a Year. It's The Record from KUOW.